And my topic today is eternal realities. Okay, they're just things that only the Bible can explain, whether we like it or not. It's there if we believe that there is such thing as eternal realities. There are realities also where we are here on earth, like we grow old. We cannot avoid that. We will die. We cannot avoid that. It's 100% survey that everyone dies. there are two in the Bible that they didn't see death, but just Elijah and what's the other one? And Enoch. But in reality, in material reality, all of us will go into that. You grow older, the wrinkles falls. Oh, what? The wrinkles. We cannot avoid the wrinkles. It just come. To some, their hair fall fast. To some, 71 years old hair is still all right. But anyway, if there are realities in this life, there are a lot of eternal realities. That's what I want to discuss about. Let's read our text in Ecclesiastes 3:11. New Living Translation. Ready? Begin. He has planted eternity in the human heart. So, the reality is there is such thing as heaven and hell. God wants you to understand this eternal reality along with the realities of life that are found in God's Word. One man asked me, "Do you really believe that there is heaven and there is hell?" I said, "Yes, how? The Bible says it." "Oh, I don't believe that." "Well, what if there is?" "Oh, there's none." I said, "I would rather believe it rather than doesn't believe it. What if there is?" And the problem is, he doesn't believe the Bible. That's why he doesn't really believe. The first reality of life is that God made you to love you. That's the first reality. And one of the things probably that comes into my mind, to our mind, is, so if he loves me, why does he allow me to suffer? Keep going, boy. It's all right. That's right. We understand you. We love you. You. When you're a kid, you were here. And we just love this boy. Okay. So that's it. Suffering is just part of life. Everyone suffers. Even Paul had to suffer persecution. He died on the... Was he crucified, Paul? I don't remember. Upside down. He was... Peter. Oh, it was Peter who was crucified upside down. So everyone suffers, Christian and non-Christians. The first reality of life is that God made to love you. And Matthew 22:37. Let's read it. Ready? Begin. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. With all. How is that? When I spent the time talking about the reality of hell with you guys today, it is not that I want to scare you or depress you. I want you to understand the truth about hell so that you can fully embrace the reality of life. You get to choose where you'll spend eternity. Let's say you get into, I'm now 71. Probably I'll still have a few more years, I don't know. But my goal is to surpass Fran. She's 99. If I can surpass her, I'll be 29 years more. And probably there's going to be about 10 years fishing more. I don't know. Let's see. So you have to choose which way you go. In Deuteronomy 30:19, let's read it. Ready? Begin. I'm now giving you the choice between life and death, between God's blessing and God's curse. I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Choose life. When it says life, it means eternal life. God wants you to choose life, eternal life. and to spend eternity with him. That's his goal. He has opened the door to heaven through his son. That's why Jesus has to come, took our sin, died for our sin. The only thing now is us, do we receive that gift of God through Jesus Christ? He paid for our sin. He's not his sin why he died there. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, because Paul understands that the death of Christ on the cross is not because of Jesus. He didn't sin, that the Bible says, but he took the sins of mankind. And the only thing that we can go to him is when we have that righteousness of Jesus, when we receive him as our Lord and Savior. In Mark 16:16, let's read it. Ready? Begin. Anyone who believes in me and baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. When you choose to believe Jesus, you are guaranteed everlasting life with God in heaven. And that's a promise, wonderful promise. The second reality of life is this: you were made to last forever. This flesh will not last, but I have a soul, I have a spirit that will last forever. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, let's read it. Ready? Begin. He has planted eternity in the human heart. No matter how good things are on this planet, at some point of your life, you will think, there may be something more. There's got to be more. This is not it. Before I came to New Zealand, I was already imagining how beautiful New Zealand is. Until I came in here, oh, more than beautiful than what I thought. When I saw this, I mean, wonderful. We're just used to it now. But before that, when I arrived here, and that's also the reality of heaven. We just don't know how good it is. And there it is. You're going to spend far more time on the other side of death than on this side. This life is preparation for your life in eternity. Because of that, you have the third reality of life. God has prepared two eternal places, heaven or hell. Let's talk about hell first. You probably have a picture that comes into your mind when you think about hell. And it might be like this. Your image likely has some red and black tones in it. A lot of fire in your imagination. And maybe the devil looming over everything. Hell is described in the Bible as a place of torment. Let's read it in Matthew 13:42. Ready? Begin. Blazing furnace where the people will cry and grind their teeth with pain. I don't like that. I had lots of pain here when I'm in here on earth. I don't want to add to that. God has been preparing heaven since the foundation of the world. Jesus says in Matthew 25:34. Let's read. Ready? Begin. Come, blessed with my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. You don't have to stay forever on this planet, which is broken into by sin. You can choose to go to a place of perfection and be in God's presence forever. The hell or hell is also a place, also a real place. Jesus goes to say, let's read it in Matthew 25:41. Ready? Begin. Then the king will turn to those who left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire, prepare for the devil and his demons. Actually, hell is not for men. It's just that God had made a choice for everyone those that will reject Jesus, then they will have no life, because Jesus is the life, the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to heaven. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the eternal life. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels who rebelled against God. But now it is a reality for everyone who chooses to rebel against God. That description sounds terrible. But do you know what the worst part of hell is? Hell is total separation from God, which means hell is the exact opposite of everything God is. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, let's read that. Ready? Begin. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. The opposite of love is fear. Living without love means you're scared to death all the time. God is love. There is no love in hell. God is light. So hell is complete darkness. Fire, but it's dark. There's fire, it's hot, but it's dark. God is good. So there is absolutely nothing good in hell. God is life. So that means hell is eternal death. No life of God at all. No life there. That's the experience of Jesus when he was on the cross. Because he took our sin, the Father left him and he said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Total, total blackout with the presence of God. God is gracious, so that means there's no grace in hell. Nothing. Just think what it, that there is this story that the former president of the Philippines, Ferdinand Marcos, the wife, Imelda, and one of the secretary, I think it was Enrile, Secretary of National Defense. Three of them died. And so when they were at the door, Peter, when they were already in hell, all of them went to hell. Anyway, that's the story. That's not truth, okay? It's just a story. It's a joke. And then when they were already in hell, Enrile, the secretary, complained. Peter, she said, Ferdinand, the fire is just on up to his belly. Us, it's all over us. And Peter said, shh, he's standing on Imelda. I don't know, do you know that joke? But if you're from the village. So he still cheat even in heaven. He still cheat. But that's not true. That's not okay. That's just a story of those that were against them at that time. But in heaven, in hell, it's a lake of fire, but it's full of darkness. I don't know how that happens. If you go through the entire saying you don't want God in my life, then that means you will spend eternity without God. Whatever you choose on earth is yours. That's your forever choice. But there is good news. There is a way for you to absolutely certain you're going to heaven and not hell. The Bible tells us on how to settle your destiny. This is good. Let's read it well. In 1 John 5:13. Ready? Begin. I have written this to you who believe in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. Jesus is the eternal life. So if you have the Son in your heart, you receive him as your Lord and Savior, you are sure you have the gift of God. He paid for your sin. Don't worry about that sin. Worry about, do you trust him in this life? You don't have to guess or wonder about something that is inevitably and could happen at any moment. You can know for certain today that when you die, you will spend eternity in God's presence. Don't put it off any longer. Settle your future today. Today is the time to make a choice for everyone. For everyone. Five things that won't be in heaven. We will not find this in heaven. Let's read Job 11, 7 and 9. Ready? Begin. Can you understand the mysteries surrounding God all-powerful? They are higher than the heavens and deeper than the grave. So what can you do when you know so little and these mysteries outreach the earth and the ocean? Heaven is a mystery, guys. You will only fully understand once we are there. We only have a glimpse of it because of the Bible. But it's more than that we don't know. In fact, I believe that in heaven, the skills that God had given us here, I think we will be doing it there. Because there is a new heaven, a new earth. It'll come down there. There will be fish there, isn't it? I will make a rod out of gold. Jesus cooked even when he was already in his spiritual body. He went to the shore and he saw his disciples there fishing, caught nothing. That was the story, I think. And then he boiled, nag-ihaw? How do you sell it in English? He grilled fish. So maybe you are not hungry, but if you wanna eat, you can eat probably. Yeah. Heaven is a mystery. We just don't know. Number one, in heaven there will be no sickness. We read that in 1 Corinthians 15, 42 and 43. Ready, begin. This is how it will be when the dead are raised from to life. When the body is buried, ugly and weak, when it's raised, it will be beautiful and strong. I love that. No more wrinkles. No more belly. Less problem how to put that out. No more. Perfect body. There won't be any sickness because you're going to get a new and perfect body. In heaven, there will be no sadness. I love it. Last night, I was just so happy with my wife. I was kissing her on the neck, and she's... Neck! She's my wife! And she said, come on, that's itchy. Never mind. No man. No more. In Revelation 21:4, let's read it. Ready? Begin. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Never again they hunger. Never again they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. In heaven there will be no suffering, the Bible says. Every one of your needs will be satisfied. So if ever we go fishing, it's not because we need fish. We just enjoy doing it, mate. I will not use drone anymore. In heaven, there will be no sin. Hallelujah. How long had I been a Christian already? About four. I got born again in 1980. So how long is now? I always dream of not making a sin. But up to now, I am there. So I studied Paul in Romans chapter 7 when he said, the things that I do not do, I do. And the things that I should be doing, I don't do. Sin of omission and sin of commission. But he said on the last part of that, praise be to God that in Jesus I am free. I'm free indeed. Because he paid for the sin. He paid for the penalty of his sin. With us, we can do anything. That's why Jesus had to die for us. Heaven is glorious in a lot of ways. But the best thing is that you get to be in God's presence forever. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13:9. Ready? Begin. We don't know everything, and our prophecies are not complete. Now all we can see of God is like cloudy picture in a mirror. Later we will see him face to face. We don't know everything, but when we will, just as God, completely understand us. Oh, hallelujah. One day, it's all going to be clear. It's all going to make sense. You're going to be able to say, so that's why God allowed that life I've gone through. Until then, God wants you to trust him. I always think, why do I have to be born in a very poor family? Now I understand at least. But there is more to understand after that. Why we have to go through what we have to go through. You don't have to fear God's judgment in John 5:24. Let's read it. Ready? Begin. Those who hear my word and believe in him who sent me have eternal life. They will not be judged. Jesus' death and resurrection release you from judgment. The judgment, the penalty of sin is death. He died for us. He paid for the penalty of sin. In fact, we read it. We have read it in our. What do you call that? We read before the service. Apostles' Creed. It says there he was in hell, because that's the ultimate punishment of mankind, hell. But he was there for us, in place of us. He didn't only die physically; he went there. For us, you are standing outside the gate of heaven. This is a story, or you can imagine this. What if? Because I don't know if you have imagined this because of the stories that you hear. Then you are there standing at the gates of heaven, and in a long line, you slowly moving forward, one step at a time. As you get closer, you start to sweat and wonder, am I going to get in? Am I going to make it? Is God going to use a giant TV screen to show my every foolish thing I did? Everything that I've done in secret? Will my every sin be exposed? I have a good news for you guys, promised by Jesus himself. Let's read it in John 3:18. Ready, begin. Those who believe in the Son are not judged. Hallelujah. We also read it in John 5:24. Ready? Begin. Those who hear my word and believe in him who sent me have eternal life. They will not be judged. Is that not the good news? Of course. There is this boy named Elijah, who said, that this is a caption of a story about the spiritual things. When he was a little kid, his Sunday school teacher taught him that God was sitting in heaven, writing down every bad thing that Elijah ever did. He actually made a class sing, he made a song for them every week that they sing it. My Lord is writing all the time, writing all the time. And Elijah said, it scared me. I just thought I am never going to make it to heaven. My list is getting longer and longer. He worried about that. But that's not the way. That's not the way God treats us, to those who put their faith in Christ. In fact, God is erasing all the time. Forgiving all the time. He sits in heaven hitting the delete button. He is our intercessor. All we need is say, Lord, I'm sorry. I did it again. Forgive me. God is love. 1 John 4:8. Yeah, God is love. And 1 Corinthians 3:15, and love keeps record of wrong. No record of wrong. If you put your trust in the love of Jesus, your sins are wiped out. That's why there is this photo that I saw. The sins are there, like fish, different fish. And somebody was trying to fish out and said, no fishing around, because those, it's like fishing out your sin. Those are wiped out. You ask for forgiveness, you're forgiven. Don't believe on the devil's accusation. You can count on God to keep his promise. In Romans 8, verse 1, let's read it. Ready, begin. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Who belong? So not all people belong to Christ Jesus. Only those that receive him as their Lord and Savior, who trusted him, who believe in him, they became children of God through Jesus Christ. So it's always a choice that we have to make every day of our life. Do we need Jesus? Once you hear that, you have to make a decision. I made my decision in 1980 and never turned back. And I saw his promise, faithfulness for my children, for everyone that I love, that I prayed for. I pray that today our hearts will be enlightened, that no matter what we are going through, there is a better life after this life. And we can have peace even now if we put our trust in Jesus today. Let's pray. If you feel like you're ready to have a relationship with God through Jesus, you can say this prayer with me. Lord, say it. Lord, thank you for saving me. Forgive me of my sins. I open my heart to you. I receive you, Lord, as my Lord and Savior. Let peace rule in my heart. Let your healing touch, Lord, touch my body. Let the doubt, Lord, come out from me. And I will trust you forever. In Jesus' name. Amen.